This week's parsha is Parshas Nitzavim, and we will discuss the mitzvah of tshuva, which is found on chapter 30, verse number 2. But really, the machlokes is on chapter 30, verse number 11. The pasuk writes down on the first two psukim of chapter 30, V'hoyo ki yavoyo lecho eskol advarim oyle, it will be when all these things are going to come to you, habracha, the blessing, V'aklolo, and the curses, asher nosati lefanecho, that I gave in front of you, v'ashevoiso elevavecho, then you will take it to your heart, b'chol agoyim, asher yedichacho Hashem elekecho shamo, among all the nations that Hashem has dispersed you there, then v'shavto ad Hashem elekecho, you will return into Hashem, v'shamato b'koiloi, you listen to his voice, kechol asher anoichi mitzavcho hayom, as everything that I command you today, atov onecho, you and your children, bechol levavcho, uvechol nafshecho, with all your heart, with all your soul. And after this, it goes on to tell you what's going to happen after you do tshuva. Then on pasuk number 11, it says, ki amitzvah azois asher anoichi mitzavcho hayom, because this mitzvah that I command you today, loy niflays himimcha, it is not hidden from you, veloy rechoy kahi, and it's not very far. Which mitzvah are we referring to on pasuk number 11? That is machloikas between the Ramban, Nachmanides, and the Rambam, and Maimonides. Nachmanides, Ramban, believes that there is an actual mitzvah to do tshuva, to repent, and that is what the Torah is referring, ki mitzvah zois, this mitzvah referring to the mitzvah written before, the shafto ad Hashem lekecho, that you return unto Hashem. That is the mitzvah of tshuva. Rambam, Maimonides, disagrees with that. Rambam believes that it can be a mitzvah to do tshuva, as there can be a mitzvah for you to sin, since the only way to do tshuva, to repent, is if you sin. There can be a mitzvah to sin in order for you to repent. Therefore, the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Aleph, Aloch Aleph, writes down that Kesheoise Tshuva, if a person is doing Tshuva, Veyashuv Mechetoi, and then he's going to return from his sin, Chayev Leizvadois, then he's required to confess his sins, Lifnei Okel Baruchu, in front of Hashem, Shenemar, because it's written in Parshas Nosoi, chapter 5, verse number 6, Veizvadu eschatosam asher osu, that they should confess the sins that they did. The Rambam continues, ze vidu dvorim, that this is a confession of words, meaning that you have to confess in front of Hashem for the sins that you did. And the Rambam says, vidu ze mitzvah sase, that this confession, it is the positive commandment. Meaning that the Rambam is saying that there is no positive commandment to repent, because if it will be a positive commandment to repent, then automatically it would imply that you have a commandment to sin, because you cannot repent unless you sinned. Therefore, the Rambam holds that in the same way we have a mitzvah asay, that if you stole, you are required to return the item that you stole, as it's written in Vayikra chapter 5, verse number 23, Veheshi vesagzelo asher gozol, that he should return the robbed item that he robbed, and that is a positive commandment, but clearly it cannot be a positive commandment to steal. In the same way here too, there is a positive commandment that if you are repenting, meaning if you already sinned and now you are repenting, that you are required to confess your sin. Vidu dvarim, confession is the mitzvah, but there is no mitzvah of tshuva per se, in the same way that there is no mitzvah to steal in order to return the item that you stole. If you already stole, then you have a mitzvah to return the item, but there is no mitzvah to steal. The same way here, if you already sinned and you are now repenting, then you have a mitzvah to confess, but there is no mitzvah to do tshuva, because if it would be a mitzvah to do tshuva, it would have implied that you have a mitzvah to sin, and that cannot be. Therefore, we have to say that the Rambam learned ki ha mitzvah azois, that this mitzvah in pasuk number 11 is referring to the mitzvah of learning Torah, not the mitzvah of tshuva. Sefer Kiryas Sefer says that the Rambam holds that there can't be tshuva unless you confess your sins, and there can't be confession of sins unless you truly repented. Meaning, if you just say those words, they do not take effect because they are meaningless. Only works if you repented, and if you repent by thought alone, according to the Rambam, that won't work. You are required to confess your sin in order for the repentance to work. Without proper worded confession of sins, the repentance, the tshuva, does not work. You actually have to say the words. They ask a question on this interpretation of the Rambam from the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Memtes Amud Beis 49b. The Gemara there says, if somebody is mekadesh a woman, engages a woman, and he says, al menas shani tzadik, on the condition that I'm a tzadik, I'm a righteous person, afilu rosh hagamor, even though we know this person is an evil person, completely evil person, nonetheless, mekudeshes, she is betrothed. Because we say, shemo hirar tshuva bedatoi, because maybe he thought of tshuva in his mind. And as a matter of fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Ishes, Perik Ches, Halacha Ei writes down, that if somebody says to a woman, I want you to be mekadesh to me, I want you to be the tro to me, al menas she'ani tzadik, on the condition that I am a righteous person, afilu rosh hagamur, even though we know this person is completely evil, haraizu mekudeshes misafik, she is betrothed in case of doubt, because we're not sure this person is a tzaddik or a rasha. Why aren't you sure? We know that he's a rasha. So the Rambam says, shemo hirer tshuva beliboy, because could be that this person had tshuva in his heart, meaning he has repentance in his heart, and now he turned from a rasha, from an evil person, to a good person. The question that they ask on this Rambam is, according to the Kirya Sefer, which just mentioned that tshuva won't work unless you confess your sins, meaning that part of the tshuva process is that you have to orally confess your sin, then how good is it that he had thoughts of tshuva in his heart? That tshuva wasn't complete yet, therefore he is definitely not a tzaddik. He may not be a rasha anymore, but we know for sure that he is not a tzaddik, a righteous person, because he did not have a verbal confession, and according to the Rambam, part of the requirement of the tshuva process is to orally confess, to word your confession, and here he only could have had the confession in his heart. So if he had the confession in his heart, then that wouldn't work. Then according to the Rambam, how good is it, shemo hirer tshuva beliboy, that he had thoughts of tshuva in his heart, if that clearly won't work, because you require to voice out your confession to Hashem, then why is she betrothed misafik in case of doubt? We know for sure that he is not a tzaddik now. The Chidah in his Sefer Shalos Tshuvos Toiv Ayin Simen Vav brings this question on the Rambam, and he answers that this case may be different, because in this case, since this person is coming to the woman and saying, I want you to be betrothed to me, al menas shani tzadik gomer, on the condition that I am completely righteous person, and he himself knows that everybody knows that he is an evil person. Therefore, in this situation, we have to worry, maybe he previously already confessed his sin openly to Hashem, he voiced out his sins, all was missing is to have tshuva in the heart. Now that he meets this woman and says that I'm completely tzaddik, maybe in this case he had hirur tshuva, he had thoughts of tshuva in his heart. Therefore, in this case, she has to suspect maybe he did tshuva, because since he brings up the subject that he's a tzaddik, then obviously he wanted to betroth this woman, and obviously he already did a couple steps previously. Therefore, in this case, we have to worry and suspect maybe he did tshuva. and that tshuva would complete the repentance process. Therefore, she is sofik mekudeshes. We're not sure for sure he did tshuva, but in this case we have to worry, maybe he did tshuva. But in regular cases, when a person doesn't say anything, we don't have to assume that he did tshuva in his heart, because tshuva in his heart per se does not work. Maybe in our case here, he previously confessed his sin, as before we mentioned that just confession without tshuva doesn't work. Therefore, now, when he says Amanash Anitzadi Gomor, means that he started the process and now he's completing it by thinking of tshuva in his heart. Therefore, maybe this woman is betrothed. But in a regular case where we know for sure there was no confession, then the tshuva is not complete. The Kotzke Rebbe, in his usual way, dismisses this question on the Rambam. And he dismisses it based on the Rashi on Parshas Vayishlach, Bereshis, chapter 36, verse number 3, where there it's written that Esav married Bez Bosmas Bas Ishmael, Bosmas, the daughter of Ishmael, Achois Nevoyes, the sister of Nevoyes. Rashi is bothered. Here it's written that Esav married the woman called Bosmas, the daughter of Ishmael, the sister of Nevoyes. And previously on chapter 28, verse number 9, there it says that Esav went to Ishmael and he took Machlas, the daughter of Ishmael, the sister of Nevoyes. Obviously, they are the same people. Rashi says that this gives proof to the Medrash Agada in Sefer Shmuel, where there the Medrash says that Gimel Machlim Lo Yavoino Yseyem, that three people, Hashem forgives them all their sins. The three people are Ger Shenis Gayer, a convert that converts, all sins are forgiven. Va'oile Ligdula, somebody who gets a greater appointment, he gets to a higher level, to a higher appointment, then his sins are forgiven. And the third person is Vahanoise Isha, somebody who marries a woman. Veloma datam, the Medrash says that we know that somebody gets married, gets his sins forgiven. Mikan, from here, Lekach Nemarach, the Medrash continues, Lekach Nikras Mochlas, therefore, Bosmas was called Machlas, Shenimchelu Avoino Esav, that Esav's sins were forgiven. Meaning that this comes from the root Machal, forgiveness, and the day that Esav married Bosmas, all his sins were forgiven. Therefore, it calls her Machlas, that she was the vehicle that caused Esav to have his sins forgiven. And we see from this story that even a Rosha like Esav, in the day of his wedding, gets his sins forgiven. According to this, the Kotzke Rebbe says, we could answer the question on the Rambam on from the Gemara in Kedushin, meaning that the Gemara there that says that Arei at mekudeshesli, that you are betrothed to me, al menas, on the condition shani tzadik gomur, that I'm completely righteous person. In that case, we have to suspect maybe he did tshuva in his heart. Our question was, how can tshuva in his heart work according to the Rambam? He's still required to have confessions for his sin. And the answer is that he doesn't require to have confession for his sin. Because since now he is going to betroth this woman, and betrothal is like marriage, therefore that day that he betroths this woman, all his sins are forgiven. Therefore, he doesn't have to confess anything, since he doesn't have any sins. Nonetheless, this person still is required to do tshuva in his heart in order to be considered tzadik gomur, a completely righteous person. Meaning, true that your sins are forgiven, but that doesn't make you yet a tzadik. You are in neutral, you are in zero. Meaning, you had sins, now you don't have any sins anymore. But you are not yet a completely righteous person. If you do tshuva in your heart, and as we know from the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pevav 86b says, in the name of the Shlokish, that when you do tshuva meyira, tshuva out of fear of punishment, then the doinois nasa kishgogois, the purposeful sins that you make become like you make a mistake, meaning that the sins aren't completely expunged. The sins are still there, but they are not as strong anymore as they would have been a purposeful sin. They are now like mistakes. But when you do tshuva me'ahava, when you do tshuva out of love of Hashem, not because you're afraid of Hashem, then the doinois nasa zochiris, even your purposeful sins become merits. Therefore, now that this person has all his sins forgiven, we have to worry, maybe when he said, Amanash ani tzadik gomer, on the condition that I'm completely righteous person, maybe this person now repented in his mind, and his repentance was out of love, and now all the sins that he previously had turned to merits, so now he's a tzadik gomer. Therefore, only in this case I have to worry, maybe he's a tzadik gomer. But in other cases, when a person does tshuva, he is required to voice and to confess his sins. Without that, the tshuva does not work. In our case, since he's getting married, and as we mentioned, when you get married, Hashem forgives all your sins. Therefore, in this case, we do away with the requirement of confession, because all his sins are forgiven. Therefore, when he says, Amanash ani tzadik gomer, we have to assume that he did tshuva me'ahava out of love, and now he got all his sins converted to merits, and he has got a ton of merits since he was previously evil. Therefore, he is now considered a tzadik gomer, a completely righteous person. Therefore, in our case, we say maybe she is betrothed. But in other cases where there is no automatic forgiveness of sins, there we require to have a confession, and therefore there we don't have to worry, maybe he did tshuva in his mind, because according to this interpretation of the Rambam, tshuva in his mind without orally confessing your sin does not work. Since we mentioned the idea that if you do tshuva me'ahava, tshuva out of love, your purposeful sin becomes merit, it reminded me of a beautiful Divrei Yoel on Rosh Hashanah, where she brings an Os Yud Zayin. The Divrei Yoel brings the Rama in Orach Chaim, Simen Tov Kof Pei Gimel, 583 Sif Beis, where there the Rama brings the Minhag that we do Tashlich in Rosh Hashanah, and he says, V'olchi l'anor, and we go to the river Loimar to say the Pasuk in Micha, chapter 7, verse 19, V'sashlech b'mtzoyles yom kol chatoisenu, that Hashem should throw in the depth of the oceans all our sins. The Satmar Rabbi asks if the whole idea is, as we always mention, that the sins should disappear, that the sins should not be counted to the Jewish people, why do we specifically say that Hashem should throw in the depth of the oceans our sins? Why don't we just say, Hashem, cancel out our sins, throw away our sins? Even though the Mishneh Berurah there brings a beautiful reason why we go to the river, and he says that this reason is based on the Medrash Tanchuma, where the Medrash Tanchuma says that when the Satan tried to prevent Avram and Yitzchak from making the Akedah, the Satan put a huge river in front of them, and nonetheless Avram and Yitzchak jumped into the river, and when the water got to their necks, Avram Avinu turned and proclaimed to Hashem, Hashem, you chose me and you revealed to me and you said that I'm the only one and you are the only one in this world. Through you my name is going to be known in this world, and you asked me to take my son Yitzchak as a oila, and I did not refrain from doing that. And now I'm doing your will, your bidding. And bo maim ad nafesh, he said the words that is written on Tehillim, chapter 69, that waters came until the soul, meaning that I'm about to die. Im ani o Yitzchak bni toiveya, if me or Yitzchak are going to sink, Miye kaim amorcho, who is going to keep your word? Al mi yisyachet shmecho, and on whom you're going to put your name? Omer le'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Chayecho, I swear to you, shal yadcho nisyachet shmi boilom, that you are going to be the vehicle, that you are going to make my name known into the world. Miyad, Gor HaKadosh Baruch Hu Azamayim, Hashem screamed on the spring, Vayovesh Anor, and the river became dry, Omdu Bayabosho, and Yitzchok and Avraham Avinu were in the dryness. Therefore the Mishneh Berurah says that when we go to the river, we are invoking the merit of Avraham and Yitzchok for the Akedah, and because of this merit, Hashem is going to save us in the Day of Judgment. Nonetheless, the Satmar Rebbe gives another answer why we specifically throw our sins to the river. And he says, based on what we just mentioned, based on Rish Lakish, that Rish Lakish says that when you do tshuva mahava, tshuva out of love, your sins become merits, then we do not want our sins destroyed and burned away and cast away completely, because we want eventually to use those sins as sources for our merits, because we expect to do tshuva mehava, we want to do tshuva completely out of love to Hashem, and those sins that we just did, they are in the future going to be a source of great merits. Therefore, we do not want Hashem to take our sins and burn it away and throw it away completely, that they shouldn't be around. We want them around. We want them in the depth of the oceans, just waiting there for the time that we do tshuva mehava, tshuva out of love. Then we are able to get those sins back as merits, because tshuva out of love will transform those sins to greater merits. And that is exactly why we throw into the river, into the ocean, because the river and the ocean are mikve tahare. There are places where you could spiritually cleanse yourself. Therefore, we ask Hashem already to start the process and throw our sins by the depth of the ocean, where they are going to become purified. Once they are purified, we'll be able to get back by doing tshuva completely out of love and get those sins back as merits. And that could be the reason why we specifically go on Rosh Hashanah to the river, because we have to remember that even though we are doing tshuva now because we are afraid what the judgment is going to be that day, but nonetheless, our ultimate goal is to do tshuva out of love, and that is symbolized by us throwing those sins into the river, where they are going to be there for future times when we fully repent out of love. Rabbeinu Yerucham holds that you could do tshuva in your heart, and if you do tshuva in your heart, then you are tzadik gomur, you are completely forgiven. And according to this Rabbeinu Yerucham, we answer why we do not make a bracha on tshuva, meaning why on repentance you do not make a bracha. And the answer brought down by the Birkas Aharon on brachas, Mamer Shin Ches, is that since it's possible to do tshuva in your heart, you do not have to do an action, therefore we cannot make a bracha. In the same way that the Bes Yosef in Orachaim Simen Tov Lamed Beis 432, where we're discussing Bedikas Chometz, there we make a bracha on the Bedikas Chometz, on the looking for the Chometz, but we do not make a bracha on the Bittul Chometz. When we annul the Chometz before Pesach, we do not make a bracha. The Bes Yosef asks a question, why don't you make a bracha al Bittul Chometz? The Bes Yosef answers, Mishum de Bittul have a belev, because Bittul, annulment of Chometz, giving up ownership of Chometz, could be done in your heart. Veimer varchim al dvorim shebelev, and do not make a bracha but for something that is in your heart. Therefore, the Birkas Aharon says that we use the same answer as here too. Since tshuva could be done in your heart, therefore we do not make a bracha on tshuva. This answer is good according to Rav Yerucham, who holds that by thought alone, by machshava alone, I could do tshuva, and that tshuva will be good enough. But according to the Kiriya Sefer that we mentioned previously, that holds that the Rambam requires, in order for the tshuva to be complete, that you repent in your heart, but you require to have oral declaration of your sins, then the question is, why don't you make a bracha on tshuva? Now the tshuva is not only in your heart, you require to have oral declaration. Why don't you make a bracha on tshuva? And in truth, this question is according to Nachmanides also. Nachmanides lists as one of the mitzvahs, the mitzvah of tshuva. Then the question is, why don't you make a bracha on tshuva? The Shalos Tshuvas Beis Yitzchok in Yoredaya Chelik Beis, Simen Kof Samach Ches, Sifkot Niyud Beis, brings the answer that the reason we don't make a bracha on tshuva is because since tshuva requires you to sin, the only way you could repent is if you sinned. True that according to Nachmanides, that is one of the mitzvahs, but nonetheless, Hashem doesn't want you to make a bracha on a mitzvah like that. A mitzvah that comes via a sin, Hashem doesn't want you to make a blessing on them. In the same way that if you stole something and now you're repenting and you're required to give what you stole back, you do not make a bracha for giving back the item you stole since that came through a sin. The same way here. The only way you could repent is if you sinned. Therefore, there is no bracha in tshuva. We have also a Shalos Tshuva Sorashba, which explains also that the reason why the Bezdin does not make a bracha when they execute somebody is because since Hashem doesn't desire that a person be executed, because Hashem would have preferred that the person wouldn't sin in the beginning, therefore we do not make a bracha for something that Hashem wouldn't want you to do, that Hashem would have preferred that nobody be executed, meaning that nobody transgresses and requires to be executed. Therefore, Hashem doesn't want you to make a bracha. I could say that this is almost as a mitzvah haba b'aveira, that if you make a mitzvah through an aveira, Hashem doesn't want you to make a bracha in it, because it's not a praise to Hashem that you transgress that aveira. True that you are now trying to make amends, and you are trying to repent, and you are trying to give back what you stole. Nonetheless, since originally it came through a sin, Hashem doesn't want you to make a blessing over it. The Medrash Tanchuma in Azinu brings that tshuva does not work for a non-Jew, because the Medrash Tanchuma brings a contradiction in Pasuk. One Pasuk says, in Bamidbar, chapter 6, verse 26, it says, Iso Hashem ponov elecho, Hashem is going to show favor to you. And then in Dvarim, chapter 10, Pasuk Yud Zayin says that Hashem is the God, Asher lo yiso ponim, that does not show favor, velo yikach shoichad, and does not take bribery. The Medrash Tanchuma answers that depends, that if you don't do tshuva, then Hashem does not show favor. But if you do tshuva, iso Hashem ponov elecho, the Hashem is going to show favor to you. Then the Medrash continues and asks, Yochoy lakoil, I thought that this applies to anybody who does tshuva, tamut loyme elecho, only to you, meaning to the Jewish people, veloy le'uma me'akum, but not from the nations of the world. Meaning that the nations of the world want to repent, Hashem does not accept their repentance. True that if they do not sin, they won't be punished anymore, they will keep the status quo, but the concept that you could turn your sin to merits, that you could do tshuva, repent, and Hashem will wipe out the sin, that doesn't apply to the nations of the world. And the Forshim explain in a nice way that since Hashem is considered a father to us, because Hashem calls us Bonim Atem Lashem, that we are children to God, therefore we have a rule, Av Shemachal al Kvoidoi Kvoidoi Machal, that if a father forgives his honor is forgiven. And every time we do a sin, we are basically transgressing the honor of our father, but nonetheless the father has the right to forgo his honor. But since regarding the nations, Hashem is called the king, because the pasuk says Ki melech al kol goyim Hashem, that Hashem is king over the whole world, and we have a rule regarding a king, melech shemachal al kavoidoy en kavoidamachul, that if a king wants to forgo his honor, he is not allowed to do it, because that is an insult to the population. The king is not allowed to forgo his honor. Therefore, if the nations of the world sin, they cannot repent, because the king cannot forgive them. The king cannot forgo his honor. He may not punish them right away, but nonetheless, that sin stays there forever. I wanted to use this idea of the Medrash Tanchuma and the idea of the Ramban, that there is a mitzvah to do tshuva, to answer certain things that happened between Yosef and his brothers, and also certain things regarding the story of Reuven. Meaning that Mefarshim explain that the fight between Yosef and his brother was, if the Jews before Torah was given had the law of Jews or had the law of Gentiles. One of the arguments between Yosef and his brothers was Eiver min Achai, the limbs of a living animal. Both Jews and Gentiles are prohibited from eating the limb of a living animal. They are only allowed to take the limb after the animal dies. But the definition of death differs if you are a Jew or you are a Gentile. Since a Jew is required to do Shechita, then right after Shechita the animal is considered dead, even though the animal is mefarcheset, meaning it's convulsing, it is already considered dead, and you are allowed to take the limb of that animal. But by a Gentile, since death is defined by the cessation of all movement, then if the animal is convulsing, you are not allowed to take the limb of that animal. Yosef saw his brothers taking a limb of an animal right after Shechita, right after slaughtering, and Yosef held that since Torah wasn't given yet, they have to keep the stringencies of a Gentile. Therefore, Yosef went and told his father that the brothers are eating Eiver min Achai, and that caused rift between him and his brothers. This idea is brought down by the Medrash Rabbah, is brought down by the Klei Yakor and the Pardas Yosef, and many other Mefarshim. On Bereishis chapter 37, verse number 20, after Yaakov sends Yosef to go to Shechem, and Yosef finds them in Dothan, when Yosef is coming there, they want to kill him. And Pasuk number 20 says, V'ato, and now, lechu v'nargeu, let's kill him, v'nashlicheu ba'achad aboires, and we'll throw him in one of the pits. Meaning, the brothers want to kill Yosef. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh asks the famous question, how is it that the brothers would do something so evil to kill Yosef? What right do they have to kill Yosef? The Or HaChaim HaKodesh gives different interpretations, but in the last section of that Or HaChaim, the Or HaChaim says, "Ve'ulai," and maybe, "Sheramzu b'divrayim," that they tried to allude in their words, "Sheyasu tshuva lebesaf," that they know they are sinning, but they are going to do tshuva in the end, "Ve'eilach davor she'oymed b'pnei tshuva," and there is nothing that stands in the way of tshuva, "Ve'hu amroi ve'ato," and we learn that from the words "and now," because the Medrash Rabbah, Chof Aleph Vav, says, "Ein ve'ato elo tshuva," that "ve'ato" means tshuva, and he says, "Ve'ze derech drash," that this is a drash, meaning the Or HaChaim HaKodesh is saying that since one of the 630 mitzvahs is the mitzvah of tshuva, the brothers decided that they are going to do the greatest sin possible, and then they are going to do tshuva. Like that, they will have the merits of that mitzvah. They'll do the mitzvah of tshuva. Therefore, they decided they are going to kill Yosef, even though they know they are wrong in killing Yosef. But nonetheless, they will do tshuva later, and then they will have that as a merit. Since tshuva is one of the 630 mitzvahs, they wanted to keep the 630 mitzvahs. They have to do a crime, and they decided to do a great crime, like that they will get a great merit. And I could add that this is the reason why they picked specifically the mitzvah of tshuva to do now, because since this was the machloikas between Yosef and the brothers, because Yosef believed they are Gentiles, and if they are Gentiles, they cannot do tshuva, and the brothers believe that they have the law of the Jew, and if they are Jewish, they could do tshuva, therefore they wanted to pick something specifically to disprove Yosef. And my Rosh Hashiva, the Vilna Rav, on his Sefer Ezer Miyuda, adds that this is the reason why Reuven did not want to take part by killing Yosef, meaning, since all they wanted is to do the mitzvah of tshuva, because they wanted to keep the 630 mitzvahs, and they were only lacking the mitzvah of tshuva, of repentance, but Reuven could not be part of it, because Reuven already did the mitzvah of tshuva previously, because Reuven sinned previously by Parshas Vayishlach, Bereishis, chapter 35, verse number 22, where it says there, Vayibishkon Israel Boaretz Ahi, when Israel was in that land, Vayelech Reuven, Reuven went, Vayishkav as Bila, Pilegesh Aviv, and he left Bila, the concubine of his father, meaning that Reuven already previously sinned, and we mentioned in the last year's CD what Reuven's intention was, but nonetheless, Reuven already sinned, and Reuven was already doing tshuva for that. Therefore, Reuven could not do another sin, because Reuven technically already fulfilled his 630 mitzvahs. Therefore, Reuven protested, and Reuven says, Loina kenu nafesh, we can't kill him, because I cannot be part of it, because since I already performed the mitzvah of tshuva, now it is really going to be a sin. Therefore, Reuven was able to convince the brothers to throw Yosef in a pit and not kill him. And according to this idea of the Or HaChaim HaKodesh and the Vilna Rav, I could answer a question that was always bothering me, meaning that Rashi on chapter 37, verse 29, it's written there, Vayoshev Reuven El Habor, that Reuven came back to the pit. Rashi asks a question, where was Reuven by the sale of Yosef? Rashi answers in his second answer that Osuk Oyu Besakwe Betanisoy, that Reuven was busy in his sackcloth in his fast, Al Shebilbel Yitzhi Aviv, because he moved his father's bed. Meaning, Reuven is all of a sudden doing tshuva, because as we mentioned, Reuven had sinned previously by moving his father's bed, therefore Reuven was not present at the sale of Yosef, and all of a sudden he comes back and doesn't find Yosef, and the pasuk continues and tells you what happened after that. In the end of Vayetze, on chapter 31, verse number 41, Yaakov Avinu tells Lavan, his father-in-law that was chasing him, he says, Zeli esrim shan veveisecho, I'm 20 years in your house, I worked for you 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 years for your sheep. Meaning that Yaakov Avinu was 20 years in the house of Lavan. For 14 of those years he works in order to marry Rachel and Leah, and afterwards he works 6 years. Rashi mentions that at the end of 14 years, Yosef was born. Yosef was born right at the end of 14 years, because the pasuk says in Bereishis chapter 30, verse number 25, Vayikar sheyodo Rachel as Yosef, as soon as Rachel gave birth to Yosef, Vayomer Yaakov elavon, then Yaakov tells to Lavon, Sholcheni ve'elcha mekoymi la'arzi, let me go to my place and my land. That means that right after the end of the second 7 years, Yosef was born. And then Lavan tells Yaakov that he will pay him by sheep for his work. And then Yaakov stays there an extra 6 years. That means when they left Paddan Aram, when they left Lavan's country, Yosef was 6 years old. And they stayed 2 years on the road. And during these 2 years, Rachel died, and right after Rachel died, Yaakov moved his bed from Rachel's tent to Bila's tent. At that point, Reuven decided to take his mother's honor and moved the bed from Bila's tent to Leah's tent, and that was considered the sin, then Yosef at the most was 8 years old, because if this happened right at the end of the 2 years traveling towards Israel, then Yosef was 8 years old. Then here, when Yosef is 17, this happens 9 years after the sin. The question is, why all of a sudden is Reuven going to do his sack and fasting? All of a sudden, Reuven decides to leave the brothers and go fasting. What triggered Reuven to do tshuva now? But now, according to what the Or HaChaim HaKodesh says, that the reason that the brothers wanted to kill Yosef is because they wanted to do the mitzvah of tshuva. And according to what the Vinerov says, that Reuven disagreed with that, because since Reuven did tshuva already, then Reuven could not be part of killing Yosef. Then we understand what triggered Reuven to do tshuva now. Because all of a sudden Reuven was reminded of his sin, because Reuven could not take part of the killing of Yosef in order to do tshuva, because he already sinned. And now if he would sin, that would show that it's actual sin, not because he wants to do the mitzvah of tshuva. Therefore Reuven was now reminded of his sin. And since Reuven was a tzaddik, obviously he did tshuva previously, but now, since he was in a higher level, he realized that the tshuva that he did previously was mediocre, because now he is the high recognition of Hashem. Therefore he realized that he has to repent harder. Therefore Reuven now decided to go repent. And I wanted to say that this Or HaChaim HaKodesh actually answers another strong question. We know that Reuven was the eldest brother, and if Reuven was the eldest brother, the question is, why didn't the brothers wait for Reuven to come and then sell Yosef? I understand that the simple answer is that it happens that they saw the caravan of Ishmoelim and they thought they needed to act right away. But according to the second interpretation of Rashi, that Reuven was oisek besako vetanisoi, that he was in his sackcloth and fasting, that means that Reuven was nearby. He wasn't far away. According to the first interpretation of Rashi, that Rashi says that every day one of the brothers served their father, it was Reuven's turn to serve the father, I understand why Reuven is not present, because they couldn't afford to wait for Reuven, because Reuven is very far away. He's serving the father all the way home. But according to the interpretation that Reuven was asuk besako vetanisoi, that he's fasting and his sackcloth, obviously that is nearby. He didn't go far away to do that, because you don't need to go far away to wear your sackcloth and fast. If Reuven is nearby, why didn't they call him or tell him that the sale is taking place? But according to what the Vinerov says, that Reuven protested because Reuven had already done the mitzvah of tshuva, therefore Reuven could not take part of killing Yosef, because Reuven could not make another sin since he already did the mitzvah of tshuva. We understand why the brothers didn't call Reuven, because the brothers wanted to do the mitzvah of tshuva, therefore the brothers wanted to sell Yosef. But if Reuven would have taken part, then Reuven would have made actual sin, because this sin cannot be said that it was in order to make tshuva, because Reuven was already doing tshuva for another sin. Therefore, the brothers specifically waited till Reuven is osok besako vetanisoi, doing tshuva for his own sin, then they decided to act in the absence of Reuven, because Reuven cannot be part of the brothers, because since Reuven is the one that already sinned, therefore he already did the mitzvah of tshuva, he could not be part of the sale of Yosef, because only those who need the mitzvah of tshuva could be part of the sale of Yosef. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should all do tshuva mehava, tshuva out of love, and we should all merit to have a sweet new year. We should have parnasa, we should have long life, we should have peace, and in the merit of tshuva and Torah learning, then we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mheiro b'yomeinu, Amen.